When you choose Howden Superyachts, you choose more than an insurance brokerage. You choose a risk partner, a trusted advisor who takes the time to understand your program and deliver a solution built specifically for you. You choose 24/7 support, because yachting doesn't stop at 5 o'clock, so neither do we. You choose a team with oceans of experience. Nearly 40 dedicated super yacht insurance specialists worldwide, backed by leadership with over 30 years in the industry, advocating for owners when it matters most. An exceptional yacht deserves exceptional coverage. Choose an exceptional broker. Howden, your super yacht insurance broker. Unrestricted thinking, unmatched advocacy.
Hi, I'm Maria, the host of American Refit. I'm sitting here today with some fantastic friends and experts in the industry. If you guys want to go ahead and introduce yourselves, Colin.
Yeah, good morning. My name is Colin Lord. I've been in this industry for 23 years in the shipyards. I'm basically an independent refit manager, and we take the mega yachts into the shipyards and we do the service work, repair work, and full maintenance of those vessels.
Hi, everyone. I'm Michelle Tolora-Tua. I am the Director of Marine Aviation and Compliance for Compass Logistics and Marine LLC, located in the beautiful Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And that means that I deal with yachts, airplanes, and a lot of foreign trade zones, ship's spares, and anything that goes along with those.
I'm Rob McKean, President of the McKean Group and representing the Marine Industries Association of the Treasure Coast, which covers Martin County, St. Lucie County, Indian River County, and Okeechobee County. So just the next county north of us here at the Palm Beach Show. I've got 40-something years in the business, started very early through commercial, technical, yachting, shipyard work, and everything like that. So it's a pleasure to be here.
Excellent. Thank you. So the American Refit podcast is about the state of the U.S. refit market today and what we can do to make things better. We do know that there's a little bit of an issue with refits. Owners not having the confidence in our market right now on this side. And we want to discuss what we're going to do to fix that, find solutions, and bring it back. So with that, Colin, what do you think the market needs most right now to bring back predictability?
Thanks, Maria. I think just to add to that, you know, we've launched a U.S. refit council. The reason why we've done that is to bring confidence back in, not only for the owners, but for the management teams, the crew, the shipyards, the subcontractors, the vendors. So to your point, the owners can understand what's going to happen when the boat goes to the shipyard, the cost it's going to be, the timing it's going to be, and have good expectations when it comes out. I think the main important part of that is to have the timing of that, to establish good lead times for everybody to be prepared for that yard herd so that he can understand exactly what's about to happen to his boat and have a successful yard period.
And does that conversation start between the project manager and the captain, or who else do we need to get in front of?
Well, I think it's everybody. It's the whole management team. Because I say it's not only the people like myself that work in the shipyards. It can be the insurance. It can be the importers, exporters. It can be the management companies within the vessel. It can be even down to what's required for safety, security, even down to probably the law type of it. What has to happen for that boat to be able to finish on time, on budget, and the owner to be happy and be able to use his vessel.
Absolutely. And Michelle, in your sector of the industry, what do you see the biggest issue and where do owners leave money on the table?
I think the biggest issue with the customs, let's say the U.S. customs side of it, is duties. What are the duties on the commodities that you're importing, and what are the ways that you can import those commodities without the burden of excessive duties? One of the ways is our ship spares program that we can pick up anywhere in the world and deliver that spare part, that engine part, even the new refrigerator and dishwasher, the carpet, the linens. We can pick it up at the supplier and deliver it directly to that vessel. It has to be a foreign flag vessel, and we can arrange those. We do it every day of the week. And that way, when it's delivered directly to the vessel, it is not dutiful at that point because it's an in-bond move for a foreign flag vessel.
Excellent. And Rob, with your time in the industry, what do you think needs to happen first before the vessel comes into the yard? What are the obvious points that are being missed that are causing issues in procurement and timelines?
I think the big driver in the change that we've seen in the industry has been the honesty. It's being clear whether you are the technical manager of the vessel, the master, the engineer, and ultimately the owner of the vessel. There's a scope of work that a vessel goes into a yard period to accomplish. Shipyards plan and schedule your yard period as a yacht around several others. If there's scope growth, that means that the shipyard is unprepared, or the project managers are unprepared, or the budget is not prepared, or the owner's timeline for the boss trip is going to slide.
Right.
There's no advantage now at all. Well, there's never an advantage, but it needs to change. That be completely honest with what could happen during that refit period. If you're honest about it, maybe it doesn't happen, but at least people are prepared and they've got it in their head that we need to have resources ready to go in case this happens. I think that full disclosure of what could happen only helps everybody prepare.
Absolutely. And Colin, I know we've talked a lot in our office about that timeline. I think we'd like to see getting that phone call from a captain or a management company for a 12-month yard period, 12-month preliminary planning. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And it's understanding what has to be done in the upcoming yard period. Some of it might be because of flag and class. So a lot of that's going to be regulated by that class association or whoever's involved in that. Our job is to be able to take that information well ahead of the shipyard and turn it into a full-time layout, both on the spreadsheet, who's involved, like Rob was saying, planning of the shipyards, planning of the subcontractors, but putting the whole team together to be able to achieve that. And I think that's where we've been missing, because a lot of people that have been involved in these are not giving the correct people, the people that really know about shipyards. And there's a big difference between that and, to say, management of vessels, to allow them to do their job and then have a good result and a happy owner at the end of it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I was recently asked by Captain Liam on Unbridled what a captain might be missing ahead of coming ashore into a yard period. And I said, well, you have to look at it as you're taking care of your client. That's your job. So how can you then assume the job of what we do shoreside? So with that, where else can we improve in a yard period? The relationships is where we stand strong and communicating, not just nationally, but internationally to the owners that we're here to help you. Without the relationship with the captains and these owners, we're dead in the water.
Yeah. All the stakeholders, really.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah,
big and small.
If I could add, with a project manager, he is planning for everything that has to be done on board that vessel. That means you're also planning what you're going to order, right?
Correct.
Parts, yeah. Your components.
Right. And that's why, you know, the word project manager tends to be too generic, okay? And we would like to sort of move away from that. I would like to call ourselves really project management or refit management team, because we want everybody involved. We're kind of like the conductors in an orchestra. We're putting everybody together to work alongside each other, which means everybody that's going to be involved in that. Like you said, Michelle, the parts, the procurement of anything that needs to come to the vessel well in advance. So it could be put on the shelf in readiness of it. When the boat arrives, it's not trying to order it at that point and having delays or getting stuck in borders and things like that, or through bonding or whatever it might be. But if we have all that stuff ready, the boat arrives and it gets on with the project immediately. The quotes have all been done. The estimates have been done. Deposits have been paid. Management are in place. The class societies, all the surveyors, everybody that's involved in that boat are already on notice, awaiting, and we get on with the project.
It also eliminates expediting fees by getting your parts early. And the panic of trying to find or convince an OEM to manufacture something they don't have on the shelf because you need it now.
And where I can come in and help with that is when you order your parts ahead, you know what you're going to have. we can put those parts in a foreign trade zone and a bonding warehouse and withdraw them as you need them for the project. So that will help with not worrying about the outlaying duty in advance, because there are options available to avoid that legally. And by, again, utilizing a bonded warehouse or a foreign trade zone for that matter. And then those goods are withdrawn. They can be delivered directly to the vessel again. Yeah. And some can be withdrawn for consumption if you have to manipulate them before they go on the vessel. So these options allow you to control the outgoing cash flow from the beginning of the project.
Yeah, correct. And even to your point where that stuff arrives, one of the part of the refit managers or the person that's pre-planning the shipyard can then go and check that those parts are right, the serial numbers are right, the quantities are right, mm-hmm. the left hand, right hand, whatever it might be, are actually what we ordered. And it also picks up if there's any mistakes. So then we can either change those parts out or order the missing parts, whatever it might be. It just speeds up the yard period when we're in the shipyard and we perform in the yard. We're not then panicking or trying to pick up the loose ends or things that are missing. We have plenty of time at the beginning to get this stuff right.
Great. Yeah. Good. It also solves the security side of it all, because it is sitting in a bonded warehouse.
Yes.
And everybody can have the confidence that the parts are there and they're not going to get touched.
Exactly. Precisely.
I know that we're talking a lot about AI lately. Do you foresee using AI to gauge shore support services to possibly bring in reassessing insurance costs and anything that aligns with that? How can we use what's being put to us today, meaning AI, to show the real value in training and education, certifications and safety?
Interesting.
I can answer that question, Maria, because I think the most important thing with that, with AI that can help us, is that they can do, well, AI can do a lot of the recording. So in other words, when a part goes onto a boat, whether it be mechanical, air conditioning, anything that runs that boat, those records can be kept by AI. The timelines, the warranty, the age of the thing, the hours that might have to be served can be recorded. It has a lot quicker advance by putting that onto paper and then also warning the vessel that the maintenance scheduling is coming up, the hours on the engine are coming up, things like that. It just takes a little bit of human element away so that humans can then go and run and enjoy the boat with the owner, have a good experience, instead of sitting hours and hours behind the scenes trying to catch up on paperwork or missing paperwork, and then it becomes a problem later on during that yard cruise.
Right. So that's how we could possibly standardize the industry. We pull in AI, experienced partners like yourselves, and young people that want to learn and dig into our industry, reach out to schools like Chapman School of Seamanship and Stewart, fantastic school and leadership there. Whomever it is, work as a team to set those standards. So when someone needs to gauge something, there's a set of rules. We talk a lot about accountability. So we can provide our own accountability. We are preaching it now to the young ones coming into the industry and existing crew. But I think if we all come together and start having the same cohesive conversation, it's not just South Florida, it's nationwide. And it's a trickle effect. It goes far beyond our waters when things start going wrong. So
you're absolutely right. There's the industry has evolved into a tribalistic environment, and it has put itself into silos and segregated itself from others. It is time for this industry as a whole to realize that nobody can go it alone, that one person, even a refit manager of Collins caliber, can't do it by himself. He needs support of contractors, shipyards, crew, owners. That is the path for success. There's no reason in the world why the United States can't claw back a substantial portion of the refit market by taking this approach. Maybe there needs to be a slight geographic change and a change in culture. You know, move stuff further north. You know, pick a different yard. Make arrangements with new yards, just so that everybody has this ability to have an option and utilize the talent that is here. It's being squandered. To not have this man busy, you know, 25 hours of every day is a shame.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think to Rob's point, I think the most important thing, and this is personally sort of for me, is that as we age out, all that technology that we've got in our heads and the tricks and things like that, we need to pass that information down to the new people. And that's not being allowed right now, or we don't seem to have that ability to find the right people to do that. But once certain age groups fall away and they retire, that information is gone forever. So if we can get the boats back and everybody's busy again, we also allow ourselves to be teaching new people, the new generation, passing that information across. And unfortunately, I don't think AI can do that. We can help AI to come up with a program, but our brains and interaction to other human beings is very important to get the education and that information across to the new generations.
Is there one area that we can standardize quickest or more easily? I think it's right here, having these conversations is going to carry a lot of weight. I think it's becoming vocal. Exactly what we're doing. If we're not talking about it, nothing's going to change. I know that we've committed to digging in here and seeing this through. This isn't about one of us getting a 6-month yard period on a 200-foot boat. Fantastic. It doesn't stop there. We have to continue. We have to get back to being busy all the time.
Well, and one of the things myself and Maria have been doing, and a lot of feedback that we've got, is that unfortunately the U.S. tends to not advertise our successes, sure, whereas Europe does a lot. They do a lot of media stuff. They do a lot of talking about their new products, their new systems, their new technology, all that sort of stuff. Currently in our industry, the marine industry, and certainly in South Florida, I'm not sure about the rest of the United States, but we're not talking about our successes. We're not telling people what we're doing, who we bring in, who we're engaging, the new system, the new methods. It's endless. And I think if we can get to the media, both in social media and just also the magazines and just editorials and podcasts and all that, I think also that would be a big benefit to us.
I would definitely agree with that. Social media, the platforms that are available today, the younger generation, that's where they are. That's where they're getting their information, their news from, and whatever other influencer that might be out there. And that might be what this industry needs, is an influencer, honestly. So social media is here. It's the here and now. It's the future. And I think that we really have to take advantage of that if we want to get that message out there and let the world know what we can do here, not just in America, but here in South Florida in general, and take the advantage of all of that, like we're doing today.
Yeah.
And I think it separates the myths and the truths as well. You know, if people are saying the same thing, the same way, and the same method, it's got to be the truth, okay? If everybody's not talking to each other or gossiping or giving misinformation, then everybody's going to say it's not the truth. So to your point, Nishar, I think is very important.
Well, I think that this is a fantastic start to the future of American Refit and this conversation. Our goal is to align the industry and bring solutions in a positive context. So with that, I want to thank you guys for sitting here with me today.
Thank you.
And I'm Maria, your host of American Refit, and I'll see you next time.
Refitting, building, or managing a yacht. There is no room for costly mistakes, delays, budget overruns, poor coordination. Without careful pre-planning and experienced oversight, shipyard projects and vessel operations can quickly unravel. Maritime Project Solutions handles it all. From refits and new builds to day-to-day operations, logistics, and administration, we keep your project on schedule, on budget, and your yacht performing exactly as it should. Independent, experienced, on your side. Visit mpsolutions913.com to get started. Maritime Project Solutions, done right the first time.